This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. We hear about it all the time, but are perhaps most susceptible to it this time of the year. The magic promises of detox. A silver bullet against weight gain, sluggishness and ill health. Who wouldn't want that? Yet detox is persistently debunked by scientists, helping us make sense of it all and giving us a guide to getting back on track in 2015 is Gu Chui Hung. She is a dietitian and cookbook author. Well, welcome. How are you today, Chui Hung?
Good evening, Meera.
And Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year too.
You know, what effect does a good diet really have on our sense of well-being? It may sound like a pretty lame question, but we know we always hear this eat well, eat balanced diet, eat in moderation, you know, but really.
I guess when you eat well, you feel good. You feel good about yourself and you feel healthy. So it's the general well-being factor you get out of eating well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and you know, we overindulge during festive seasons.
Yes, just at Christmas,
Of course. I mean, the last 2 weeks at least, we would have overindulged. But does that really have an impact on our overall health?
I think the problem with overindulging is, let's take an example. If you take an extra 500 calories a day extra each day, and over a week, that could easily put your weight could easily go up by another 0.5 kilo per week. And over a festive period, I mean, it's been reported you can even take up to 7,000 calories in a day. So that's quite a lot more than what you normally take. So can you imagine how much you have to burn off because of the excesses? Because just to burn off the extra 500 calories you take in a day, you have to run quite fast for one whole hour per day. Mm-hmm. So if you do it one whole week, seven
it's not
days
even
week.
An hour. You know, it really depends on how fast
how big
you run.
You are. Yes. That's right. If you're just doing a brisk walk, then that's probably not very much. Mm. So there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and just 500 calories, it takes a long time to burn.
But over the festive period, we're not even doing 500. We're doing, you know, like 2,000 calories more than what we normally take. So that's a lot of calories to burn.
Could you explain how our bodies are actually set up to cleanse so-called toxins or pollutants and what we really, you know, are so used to these terms?
Yes.
What is a toxin, really?
I guess it's, I don't know, it depends on how you describe toxins. Most people say caffeine, alcohol, refined carbs, what else, things like saturated fats. These are the common terms which people, you know, use as toxins. But in general, the way our body functions, when we consume food, it's converted into energy. So like if you have glucose, that's converted into energy and that gives, allows us to work. And whenever we consume excess calories, extra food than what we actually need, then it's converted into glycogen and stored in the liver, stored in the body. And our body is very good at retaining excess calories, unfortunately. And that's where when they say, you know, getting rid of toxins, it depends on what you categorize as toxins. If you say caffeine, we don't actually store caffeine in our body. If you say alcohol, we don't actually store alcohol in our body. But the alcohol does provide extra calories, unnecessary calories. So if you're trying to lose weight, then that doesn't help. Then you have refined sugars and excess fat intake, and all these are excess calories. You take more of that, your body will just store them. You don't get rid of them so easily. So that's why we said it's always easier to prevent than to try and get rid of it, because once you consume them, it's so hard to get rid of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've always wondered, in this whole detox equation, the liver is tasked to detox, right? So then, are you saying that the liver is not functioning as well as it should, or it's not doing its job, or you know, why then detox? If the liver is already detoxing, then why are we so-called detoxing as well?
But it sounds great, isn't it, when you say, oh,
it's a double detox.
You can take something and you can detox, you can cleanse yourself and you're all new again. But, you know, this is our body, and what we eat, some we retain, some we store, and some we just get rid of. And things which are water-soluble, that's gotten rid of a lot easier. So like water-soluble vitamins and minerals, we can flush quite easily because our kidneys kidneys will wash them out like washing machine and just get rid of them. So we don't retain a lot of it. But if you take a lot of, for example, fat-soluble vitamins, which are in, you know, the excess fats you take, those will be stored. So if you take a lot of that, then you could also end up having excess vitamins, fat-soluble vitamins stored in your body.
But, you know, when you talk about toxins that detoxes promise to clean, what are these toxins? And that, you know, we're promising to get rid of?
Well, I
guess... As a dietitian, I mean, you know, was detoxing ever a chapter in or...
No. But it's a great sales pitch, I can tell you that.
I know.
If I was selling something, I could make billions out of this. A detox potion. But I think if you look at detox in a positive way, whereby, you know, somebody says, okay, I'm going for a detox diet for 2 weeks, and this detox diet actually gets me... to kickstart healthy eating over this 2 weeks, and then after that you just carry on, then that's brilliant. But if you see detox means going through a phase where you do like a total cleansing, colon cleansing, they always use this term colon cleansing. Mm-hmm. You take laxatives or you take some
enema
or some very concentrated salt solutions and just try to get yourself to start purging. Sometimes you could be purging the whole day long, and you take this over I think a couple of days to about a week, and then after that they make you go through, I mean, that there's one called I think you mentioned the Master Cleanse diet.
Yes.
And they go through like a 10-day period of just taking liquids which is made out of just
cayenne pepper maple
right.
syrup and lemon juice mixture.
That's right. So that you drink nothing but that. So you're actually starving yourself during this period. The maple syrup probably gives you a few calories there, but there's not a lot. There's an energy deficit there. Mm-hmm. So you definitely lose weight because of the energy deficit. Not so much of you know, whether you're taking the maple syrup or whether you're taking the lemon juice, but it's just the fact that you're just taking less calories. So then after that, you know, you're supposedly, you know, you've cleansed yourself. But this is where I draw the line, because when you start purging yourself, essentially you're not cleansing your liver, because what actually happens is you're actually drawing fluids into your bowels and, you know, you're losing a lot of fluid. So when you have diarrhea and all that, yes, you will get rid of some, but what you're losing actually is fluids and electrolytes. That's what you're getting rid of more.
Which is essential to the body.
Which is essential to the body also.
Why do you think this has become such a trend? Is this us indulging in unhealthy eating behaviour and then just to console ourselves to think that we have gotten rid of it?
I guess everyone wants an antidote. An antidote to eating well.
And
eating
good. And the best part is we pay for it. You know?
Yes.
And it's not cheap.
Not cheap, yes. But, you know, when you go through a period where you're actually overindulging, people just want to feel like they're doing something which they can get rid of all the excesses you have eaten, but it's not proven that it works. But I think if you're relatively healthy, you may not be too affected by all the side effects of the detox diet. But if you're somebody who's maybe a little bit immunocompromised, a little bit weaker, you know, you lose so much fluids, you know, there is that danger there. And when you go through a starvation period, now what actually happens during a starvation period is your body goes into this mode where you're not you go through a period where you're not actually consuming any glucose to give you energy. So you are actually breaking down muscle, you're breaking down, and you start to break down a little bit of fat. And then the body goes to a phase where you stop, because your proteins are essential for building antibodies, building your red blood cells and all that. So then your body will start switching to metabolizing fat. And then when you go through this phase, yes, you may find you lose a little bit, but it's not significant. Yeah. And so...
Is that why we feel fatigued?
Possibly, yeah, because you're... It's because of the muscle wastage, so you feel a bit fatigued and tired, you're not getting enough energy. So that whole feeling. And then you'll probably be quite vitamin deficient. And once you start eating, for those who are, you be at a risk of developing refeeding syndrome, whereby when you start feeding, you get electrolyte disorders, and it increases your risk of getting cardiac arrhythmias and possibly even cardiac arrest for those who are very immunocompromised. So there is some degree of risk for those who are not very healthy from that point of view.
So those who are at risk should actually consult a doctor before doing it. Yeah. We're discussing detoxing. Gu Chui Hung, dietitian and cookbook author with us. If you have a question for her, send it through. It's 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. Gu Chui Hung, dietitian and cookbook author, in the studio with me. We're discussing detoxing from 2014. Chui Hung, one of the very, very famous things, the fads that's going on at the moment is the juice cleanse, gaining a lot of popularity. What might these cleanses achieve?
I think the good thing about juices is it's very nutrient dense. In your one cup of juice, you could easily have 8 to 10 different fruits and vegetables in that one small cup. So it's a lot easier to consume as compared to taking 8 whole fruits or, you know. So from that point of view, it's good. But it's actually quite high in refined carbohydrates, so it's very easily and very readily absorbed, but low in proteins because your juices are made out of mainly fruits and vegetables.
Lot of fiber.
Fiber, if let's say you're not using the pulp, then there's going to be hardly any fiber also. Yeah.
What are long-term consequences of detoxes like this?
It's very easy to overdose on the vitamins because if you use a lot of vitamin A-rich fruits or vegetables,
such
the,
as
the yellowy, orangey-coloured vegetables or fruits, papayas, mangoes, vegetables, even the dark green leafy ones also give you quite a good dosage of vitamin A. These are fat-soluble vitamins, and when you take so much of it, and I mentioned earlier, fat-soluble vitamins are retained, stored in the body also, and a high intake of it can start to show. If you look at your palms, it starts to become quite yellowing on the palms, and that's just one of the side effects. And a lot of other nutrients can you end up overdosing because when you just drink it all, it feels like, you know, it's so easy to achieve. But when you actually have to munch and eat every single fruit and vegetable, the risk of overdosing is not there.
But some would argue, you know, whatever's not needed by the system will be flushed out anyway.
True. So you get very expensive urine. These days, fruits and vegetables aren't cheap anymore.
You are absolutely correct there. In fact, with the floods, the cost of vegetables have gone up tremendously. On a less intense note, some people decide to give up alcohol for a month. What might that sort of, what sort of an effect will that have? Can you detox from alcohol?
Yes, you could because, I think essentially when you stop drinking alcohol for a month, the most obvious effect would be the reduction in calorie intake because, for example, if somebody takes 3 mugs of beer each night and this amounts to about roughly 500 calories there. So if over a week they stop taking 3 mugs of beer every night, that's 500 calories every week, every day over a week, you can lose 1 to 2 kilos in a month. So that's one of the obvious reductions, the calorie intake. And not overdosing on alcohol is probably a good thing also.
Right. But would giving up something for a month do much in terms of changing your health?
I guess it will be more significant as compared to if you were just giving it up for a day or a week.
You know, lemons come up a lot when you discuss detox. I know apple cider vinegar does. What sort of effects do these food have on the system?
Well, the thing about food is it's so hard to do a concrete study on it. So it doesn't mean when you don't have a randomized controlled trial on lemons, you say, oh, it's not a good thing to do. So sometimes when they do small studies and they say, yes, there is some benefit, and if it's harmless, then I would say, okay, fine, take it, because whether it's a true effect or whether it's a placebo effect, we don't know. But if it makes a person feel good and actually feel healthier and it's harmless, I think there's nothing wrong with taking it.
Some use cleanses to kickstart a healthy regime for the new year. Would you say then that for this purpose at least, detoxing isn't such a bad idea?
Yes.
Why not, isn't it?
Yes, why not? I would love to do so too. And in fact, if your detox diet means, you know, actually changing your diet to a healthier diet, and you're going to do that for not just that 2 weeks, but you continue. Because essentially, if you want to change your diet, you should do something which is more realistic or something which is sustainable. Yeah. If you do a detox diet, which is, a two-week detox diet, for instance, yes, you will definitely lose weight because you're starving yourself for that period. Then, you know, when you stop the detox diet and you go back to your normal eating again, then that's when your weight will, you know, start yo-yoing, going up and down, because you've starved yourself, so your weight goes down. Then when you start to eat as normal again, then the weight goes up again. So it defeats the whole purpose. So you go through a phase where every new year you drop a little bit, then after that you go up again. And that doesn't help over the long term. So it's probably better to do something which is more sustainable, eating something more healthy and doing portion control rather than doing a drastic detox
per se.
Yeah.
For those looking to get back on track in terms of their health in the new year, what would you suggest?
If you want to call it a detox diet, you can, but it's being more observant about what you eat, controlling the portions you take. If I were to summarize it, if I were to say, okay, this is a healthy diet, it would mean if you had a plate, say one quarter will be your carbs, your one quarter will be your protein, and then the other half will be fruits and vegetables. So the bulk of it is actually coming from fruits and vegetables because of the beneficial nutrients you get from your fruits and vegetables. And we also have to be mindful, even though you're eating healthy, if your portions are large, then you also have a problem of eating excess calories there. So
even
if it's fruit and vegetables. So portion control is equally as important.
All right. What are some of the common mistakes Malaysians make when it comes to diet?
I guess maybe it's doing the extreme, because even like detox diet, if you think about it, it's quite an extreme diet, and it's not something which you can do long term, because you can't go out with your friend and have a meal if you're doing a detox diet, because you can't eat what you're eating.
Yeah.
So it's very antisocial and very...
That is only for a while.
Yes,
temporary.
Right. Temporary, yes.
But
right.
You're right, I think sustainable diet is most challenging after you finish a detox.
Yeah, but I'm not against people doing a detox diet, because if it jump starts your year by doing something right, and then the rest of the year you're trying to do something right, I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't discourage people from that point of view, but we should be careful when it encourages a lot of purging and starvation, because it may not necessarily achieve what your intention is.
Would it affect your metabolic rate?
It will probably...
Will it help jumpstart the metabolic rate? We're desperate here, as you can see.
I think the most convincing evidence which will jumpstart your metabolic rate is actually exercise. Because when you exercise, you're actually burning more calories. And that actually increases your the calories you burn. So,
Different proponents push different diets as weight loss tools. Is there a best diet in which one could lose weight?
I think the best diet would be one which is healthy, balanced, but something you can follow. Some people choose to follow a higher protein diet because they feel it gives them a lot more satiety. And I'm not against that, but not in excess. So that's why your portion control, if you want to have a quarter portion or slightly more of the proteins, it's still, you know, lean proteins, it's still acceptable. And yes.
What about, you spoke about portion control, but for those of us who, what does a healthy diet look like? We've got our portions in sorted out here.
Yes, we've got that plate model there. Yes. If you think about a plate, you have half there, which is fruits and vegetables. Yep. Then you've got your quarter portion of carbs, quarter portion of for your proteins.
Correct. But what should go in there?
What should go in there? You mean like fruits and vegetables?
Fruits and veg is pretty straightforward. Mm. But what about, you know,
I said proteins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carbs
proteins.
And proteins.
Now, if you have your proteins, go for the lean cuts of meat. You know, lean cuts of chicken. Fish is a good protein source to have, because you've got your oily fishes, which gives you omega-3s, which are healthy for you also. And you also have other protein sources like your legumes, beans and pulses. And then for your carbs, choose whole grains, because whole grains actually have got more fiber in them, and there's a lot more B vitamins in whole grains as compared to all refined ones.
In your opinion, is this diet hard to achieve in our food-obsessed country?
I don't think it's difficult to achieve. It's just making a point. And I think the most difficult thing is...
I know the easiest thing. Do you know how you can do it in this country? It's very easy. Just cook at home.
Cook at home, yes. It's a lot easier when you cook at home.
But because the temptation is a lot less.
Yes. But I think having healthy options outside when you're eating is also a crucial thing, because I think a lot of us eat out at least one meal a day. I don't know.
Yeah. That is true, yes. Lunch, yeah. Mm, most right. families. So
choosing healthy options. In fact,
right.
I noticed there's a lot more people coming out with healthy food deliveries,
yes.
Which is also a good thing. So if that's the trend, I think it's a good trend to follow.
You know, there's one thing, Chui Hong, in this country is when you eat healthy, it costs a lot more.
That's why it shouldn't.
And I think that is a huge deterrent.
You know what? I personally feel if our country starts to tax sinful foods, you know, high fat foods or refined sugars, then maybe people will use less of it because it will cost more. Then it will be the opposite. Then to eat healthy is actually cheaper because you use less fat, you use less sugar. But I don't know, food for thought, I suppose.
I think we should tax sugar at a really high level.
Yes.
And as well as to eat healthy. You know, I don't understand how sandwiches cost an arm and a leg in this country.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. And the thing is, even in schools, I observe in children's schools, the bread which they offer is always white bread. And they always assume children only eat white bread or nuggets and things which are unhealthy. And if you start them young like that, they're going to grow up thinking this is the norm and this is acceptable. But actually, why are we afraid to let our children eat what we eat? They, in fact, that's what they should be eating.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's the taste is cultivated at that young age.
That's right, yeah.
So what's your message to this year for us?
Eat healthy.
In terms of our diet.
Eat healthy. You Everything see, in moderation. I know it's so cliche, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is. And you know, and sometimes I wonder, you know, we need to say more. We need to be more specific. Doctors would send you back and say, eat healthy, but they don't tell you how or how you should be exercising.
Yes. I noticed that also, because when I look at some of the websites and the popular websites, and the reason why they're popular is because they actually give you a very definitive message. Instead of saying eat fruits and vegetables, they're saying eat broccoli, eat spinach, eat mangoes, eat, you know. So, yes, I guess I could rephrase it.
We got your food portion sorted out. So that's very clear in my mind now.
Let me think about what I want to sell and I'll tell you online.
Are you for going vegetarian?
You don't have to. You can still eat healthy, whether you're vegetarian or not vegetarian. When you eat vegetarian, if you're going for a lot of the deep-fried gluten products, then it's not healthy also. So for whatever reasons, if you want to be vegetarian, yes, there's something wrong. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us.
And thank you.
We look forward to a healthier year. Gu Chui Hong, dietitian and cookbook author on detoxing from 2014 on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.